and your fingertips, both of which have high acuity. So touch, too, is like a song. Your ability to make complex use of touch, such as buttoning your shirt or unlocking your front door in the dark, depends on continuous time-varying patterns of touch sensation. We teach our children that humans have five senses: sight, hearing, touch, smell, and taste. We really have more. Vision is more like three senses: motion, color, and luminance, black and white contrast. Touch has pressure, temperature, pain, and vibration. We also have an entire system of sensors that tell us about our joint angles and bodily position. It is called the proprioceptive system. Proprio has the same Latin root as proprietary and property. You couldn't move without it. We also have the vestibular system in the inner ear, which gives us our sense of balance. Some of these senses are richer and more apparent to us than others, but they all enter our brain as streams of spatial patterns flowing through time on axons. Your cortex doesn't really know or sense the world directly. The only thing the cortex knows is the pattern streaming in on the input axons. Your perceived view of the world is created from these patterns, including your sense of self. In fact, your brain can't directly know where your body ends and the world begins. Neuroscientists studying body image have found that our sense of self is a lot more flexible than it feels. For example, if I give you a little rake and have you use it for reaching and grasping instead of using your hand, you will soon feel that it has become a part of your body. Your brain will change its expectations to accommodate the new pattern of tactile input. The rake is literally incorporated into your body map. The idea that patterns from different senses are equivalent inside your brain is quite surprising, and although well understood, it still isn't widely appreciated. More examples are in order. The first one you can reproduce at home. All you need is a friend, a freestanding cardboard screen, and a fake hand. For your first time running this experiment, it would be ideal if you had a rubber hand, such as you might buy at a Halloween store, but it will also work if you just trace your hand on a sheet of blank paper. Lay your real hand on a tabletop, a few inches away from the fake one, and align them the same, fingertips pointed in the same direction, palms either both up or both down. Then place the screen between the two hands so that all you can see is the false one. While you stare at the fake hand, your friend's job is to simultaneously stroke both hands at corresponding points. For example, your friend could stroke both pinkies from knuckle to nail at the same speed, then issue three quick taps to the second joint of both index fingers with the same timing, then stroke a few light circles on the back of each hand, and so on. After a short time, areas in your brain where visual and somatosensory patterns come together, one of those association areas I mentioned earlier in this chapter, become confused. You will actually feel the sensations being applied to the dummy hand as if it were your own. Another fascinating example of this pattern equivalency is called sensory substitution. It may revolutionize life for people who lose their sight in childhood and might someday be a boon to people who are born blind. It also might spawn new machine interface technologies for the rest of us. Realizing that the brain is all about patterns, Paul Bakirita, a professor of biomedical engineering at the University of Wisconsin, has developed a method for displaying visual patterns on the human tongue. Wearing this display device, blind persons are learning to see via sensations on the tongue. Here's how it works. The subject wears a small camera on his forehead and a chip on his tongue. Visual images are translated pixel for pixel into points of pressure on the tongue. A visual scene that can be displayed as hundreds of pixels on a crude television screen can be turned into a pattern of hundreds of tiny pressure points on the tongue. The brain quickly learns to interpret the patterns correctly. One of the first people to wear the tongue-mounted device is Eric Weyenmayer, a world-class athlete who went blind at age 13 and who lectures widely about not letting blindness stop his ambitions. In 2002, Weyenmayer summited Mount Everest, becoming the first blind person ever to undertake, much less accomplish, such a goal. In 2003, Weyenmayer tried on the tongue unit and saw images for the first time since his childhood. He was able to discern a ball rolling on the floor toward him, reach for a soft drink on a table, and play the game rock, paper, scissors. Later, he walked down a hallway, saw the door openings, examined a door and its frame, and noted that there was a sign on it. Images initially experienced as sensations on the tongue were soon experienced as images in space. These examples show once again that the cortex is extremely flexible and that the inputs to the brain are just patterns. It doesn't matter where the patterns come from. As long as they correlate over time in consistent ways, the brain can make sense of them.